as you look at what we're going to do, back in, I can't remember exactly, about November, early November, God gave me a title for after the new year to start. And I said, okay, fine. It's you tell me because you're the boss. And as I began thinking about it, God just can speak, and I said, well, what am I supposed to do with the book of Acts? And he said, no, just do this series, and right after that, we'll go right back to the book of Acts. It'll be great. So I don't know how long it'll be, but God does. But I want you to start with this. This is what title God gave me, specifically for 2021. So it's right up here. So I want you to say it at all of our campuses, and Vieira, Sebastian, you guys watching online, and all of you here, I want, at the count of three, just want you to say it nice and loud, because you're going to hear this the whole service. Here we go. One, two, three. God says, let's go forward together. That's it. That's for the new year. Anybody like to go forward? Yeah, after last year? Are you kidding? And so we'll see what happens with that. Now, this is not... This series is not about a New Year's resolution. Just before I left and went to Denver with my wife, recent studies, it was in the newspaper, that people who make a New Year's resolution, 92% of the time, they never keep it. So what is this series about? Here it is. Look on the overhead. It's about our commitment to follow Jesus. This isn't a resolution. This is our commitment to follow through what God asks us to do. Now, take a look on the overhead. Well, we're going to say goodbye to 2020, but one time, hopefully in 21, we're going to say goodbye to these stupid masks. But that's God's timing. Now, here's what I want you to do. I know a lot of you haven't got a lot of extras. I talked to so many people that gain weight during 20. So you're going to lose it through 21, amen? So I'm going to give you a little exercise this morning. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody, all on the campus, you guys coming in, all of us, up in the balcony, I'm watching you. If not, I'm coming up to get you. Now, this is it. Now, here's what I want you to do. Watch me. Wave goodbye. And say, goodbye, 2020! Come on. Goodbye, 2020. Even like this, goodbye, 2020. Is that right? That's exactly right. That's the way we're starting this morning. Now, when you see that, the whole world we experienced in 2020, so many changes. Changes you and I would have never expected. And we've lived a year that none of us have ever lived before, like all through the world, not just here in America. Now, there's another part. If I'm saying goodbye to 2020, take a look. Welcome 2021. Now, if you're a football fan, college, up in Tallahassee, they had a football team, and they always did this. Winning, winning, winning. So this means going forward. Oh, hush up, Florida. Now, God bless him. Now, here we go. Leave that in the behind, okay? Now, I want you to get your hand up again. In which direction are we going this year? Let's go. Let's say it. Forward. Come on. Forward. 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 We're not going back. We're going forward. Amen. 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 So that's how I've opened it, because I wanted you to understand it. Now, when you say that, I want to review some things very quickly with you. Temporary things, things that we went through, kind of practical things, not spiritual. Listen. We learned that COVID-19 impacted our freedom in so many ways by quarantine and rules and regulations. We learned what a Zoom meeting was. You know, 3 years ago, somebody says, well, I'm going to call you. We're going to have a Zoom meeting. Say, what? We never even knew what Zoom was. Now it's all over the place. We learned to wear a mask. And have 5 in your car, and your wife 10 in her purse. So we always had a crazy mask, am I right? By the way, when we flew to Denver on Delta, I picked Delta because at that point, it's going to go off, but you had an empty seat always next to you. I like that. And, of course, when you walked on, the gal said this. By the way, it's going away in January. They're going to load the plane just like every other plane. So the gal up front said, thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Thank you for wearing your mask. Make sure it's here. Oh, covering your nose. Don't open it. When you have to have this little snack, fine. You can take it off. Then you got to put it back on. And then she said this. Every one of them did, in all four flights, said this. If you feel somebody touching you during the night, well, that's because you fell asleep and your mask fell off. So you had to wake up and put your mask on. So boy, we learned all about that. We also learned what 6-foot distancing meant. Never ought to have thought about it. And here's a big one. We learned to stock our homes with toilet paper. Am I right? Do you remember the days you went to Publix or Walmart or Aldi? There's nothing there. How's a box of tissues going to do? That's not so good. And, you know, we went through that crazy time, and then it came up with another false time. Somebody just wanted to sell more toilet paper. Maybe some of our homes are so filled with it, we'll never need it again. All right, now, we also learned the value of having a job. A lot of people lost their jobs. We learned our children and youth, the schools helped them to find different ways to do school. Online, here, boom, 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 all kind of things. We also learned much that so many people now do work from home. They don't go. When we were in Denver, my daughter and I and mom, my wife, we were driving around, and we saw these amazing buildings, because it's a very big, new kind of city in lots of places. They had these huge office buildings, like everywhere, brand new. And when we went by them, here's what you saw: for sale, for sale, for rent, for rent. Nobody in the office buildings. And all those owners, 40, 50 huge buildings, are on the edge of bankruptcy. I mean, it was a sad thing to see. But we also learned that vacation is different. I guarantee you, you haven't been on a cruise. And who knows if we ever will be on a cruise. It's totally different. But the last thing I want to say is this. We learned that medical people throughout the world were so dedicated by serving and helping people that needed their life-saving treatment. Can we give them a hand this morning? We have a lot of doctors and nurses in our campuses. Thank you, because you cared. You cared. Now, here's the next thing. Think about this. What did we, Christ followers, all of us, you guys in the balcony as well, what did we learn spiritually in 2020? Well, this is it. Listen. Now, I'll give you some things that we learned. The COVID-19 pandemic left us with sometimes uncertainty. But the Bible tells us that Jesus, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed at all in 2020. We learned that God keeps his promises no matter the circumstances. Now, this is one we have to think about for a moment. Jesus said this in John 16. You know it. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. I would like to say to you, in 2021, we will never have any trouble. But that's a lie. Trouble ends when we go to heaven, because we're in a spiritual warfare. It always has been since Satan fell from heaven. It always will be until the church is removed by the rapture. Just notice what Jesus says. You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Peace. Listen about this. Peace. Shalom. Completeness. Rest. Safety. Tranquility. Wholeness. Total well-being. Go to that verse and think about that, because all of us will have trouble this year. That's normal. But we have a God who cares and gets us out of that and gives us peace. Now, even sometimes in 2020, we felt discouraged, maybe weak, fearful, and we didn't know what to do. But we know this verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And God took many of our fears and weakness and discouragement. We said, God, I need help. I need help. And we gave it to God, and God strengthened us spiritually. Now, there's one more thing. We learned through this difficult year the promise from God. Here it is. God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And finally, we had a summary as we went through the year. We learned three Bible priorities: God, people, and the use of our time. Remember, when Jesus took all the Ten Commandments, he rolled them into two: love God and love people. And then as time went on, Paul says in Ephesians, use your time wisely. Now, why is that? Because time is the most valuable resource we have. Now, when you see that, understand the Old Testament says this: we're to number our days because life is short. Plan on it. Did we see that this last year? At the start of 2020, does anybody have any idea that we'd have millions of people dying from the coronavirus? No, we did not. See, we have to learn that it can come anytime for anyone. And we have to be ready for the rapture, and we have to be ready for our death. You say, well, I'm young. That's not going to happen. Careful. We never know. Our times are in God's hands. So as we go through this next year, we need to be salt and light to a dark world. And you'll understand that more at the end of this service with the song. And we absolutely just need to use our time wisely. Now, the Bible teaches, as we go through this, and we saw this happen. Jesus said, when he was with his disciples one day, he said this: my church will never be defeated. The gates of hell will not destroy the Christian church. Now, you understand, God knew this was spiritual warfare. You'll see this later. Satan loves to divide. God loves to unite. So in 2020, Satan tried to destroy the church. Think how many. I was listening to a YouVerse this morning. There was a pastor out west, and he says, we still haven't got back in our church the whole year. See, Satan's out there. He's trying to destroy the church because he knows how powerful the church is. But what did God say? You will never defeat the church. And how do I know that happened? One reason. I don't know how many million. I would say maybe 100 million people came to Jesus Christ in 2020. And do you think that Satan had a party? Wow, that's good. Way to go, God. Think not. Do you know what happened in 2020 here at our campuses? Where over 1,020 people have come to Jesus Christ. Now, who is that? Oh, it's the pastors. No, it is not the pastors. It's the Holy Spirit convicting people. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit said, nope, church will not go under. Relax. It is never going under. When he says it, he keeps the promise to us. Is it going to be difficult? Sure, it's always going to be difficult. But you can have peace with this. Now, when you see that, one other thing happened. I remember the church when we were told, you can only have so many people and you got to distance them. And we're thinking, what does distancing mean? How in the world are we going to do this? But we had great people in IT, and we had great people in volunteers, and people helping us, guest services. And I remember the first two or three weeks that I spoke. I didn't know what it was going to be like. So I came in, and we had a band of like two or three people. And here I am teaching to all of you at home. There was nobody in the buildings for quite a while. Now you're so much coming back, so thank you so much. But I remember teaching after the first week or two, I went home and said to my wife, I'm teaching to two cameramen. And the band, when they left, they went to the back row. And the third week, I think I said this to everybody online. If you can see me, please say amen so I can hear it. Because there was no laughing. I came up with a great joke. And you have no idea how horrible that is. And here's the band going afterward. Is there anybody that would clap for us? No, they wouldn't. They weren't here. So God orchestrated all this. So we have thousands of people watching online. It was gifted people. So God just said, you're not going to destroy the church. We're going to make it better. Here we go. And away he did. Now, we learned to trust God who can work all things together for good. That we've just gone on and on and on. It's not about us. It's God. You know the whole thing. He works all things together for good. Now, starting today in this series, we're going to learn how to go forward in 2021. And I'm going to take the title and break it down piece by piece by piece. Now, here we go. Number one, God. That's the head of our title. God says, let's go forward together. God. Well, God. Life is all about God. He's the one that gave me the title. He's the one that's ahead. You were created in the image of God. In the beginning, God, it's all about God. Our life doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around God. God has to be first. Now, he's always to be the center of our lives. So this is what God said to me. Here it is. So life is all about God. Next, God says. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible teaches us that he speaks to his children, to Christ followers. He doesn't just sit up there. He speaks to us. Now, remember what Jesus said it like this in John 10:27? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them. And as a result, they follow me. So when you see this, God speaks to us. How does he speak to us? Well, number one, he speaks to us through the Word of God. Number two, he speaks to us through the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit, who, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And, of course, there's many more ways. He speaks through peace. He speaks through other Christians. There's lots of time. I can't go through all the ways God speaks to us, but God does speak to us. Now, the Bible tells us when God speaks, how am I supposed to respond to that? Well, number one, you have to listen. You have to obey, and then you follow him. We listen to what God says, which I'm teaching you this morning what he says. We listen, we obey, and then we follow what he tells us to do. Now, why are Christ's followers commanded to follow God? Why does he say we have to follow him? Well, here it is. God says, let us, which means Christ's followers and God. Man was designed to do life with God. Life is not only about where we're going, our final destination. It's very important. But life here is about who you are doing life with. You can't do life by yourself. That's absolutely impossible. Jeremiah 10:23 says this, I know, Lord, that our lives, they're not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. You heard me teach this in the book of Acts. Only God can direct our lives. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're trying to direct your own life. It will never work. Oh, I'm smart enough. You're wrong. Only God has the wisdom to direct our lives. Proverbs 16:9 says it like this. A man, his heart plans his way. Nothing wrong with planning. That's good. But the Lord directs his steps. So you can't do it alone. How personal is God? Listen to Psalm 32. I, God, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. That's how personal it is. That's why we have to do life with God. Now, when you think about this, our role model, remember, Jesus came from heaven. He was fully God, and then he was fully man. We just went through him being born. He's fully man and fully God. Well, Jesus is our role model. Jesus' entire life was directed by God, just as we are. He came here to show us how to live life. Notice what he says in John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son, Jesus, can do nothing by himself. He laid aside that deity of knowing everything. He just laid it aside. And he worked as a spirit-filled man on earth. He says, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man could do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's our role model, how life is supposed to work. Now, the next part of our title is this. God says, let's go forward. What does forward mean? Well, it means advancing. It means going onward to fulfill God's plan for every single one of us. And the meaning of go, this is a very hard word to define. What do you think go means? You could look on the screen and you'd feel better because you have the answer on the screen. What does the word go mean? Man, this crowd needs wisdom. What does go mean? Go. Yeah, tell your doctor, your dole, your son when he goes, go get the lawn mowed. Well, they don't understand it either until you get out there and start what? And say, next time I say go, you go. This is what God's saying. Go. Go how? Forward. Did you forget it already? Forward. Go forward. Now, we see this all through the Bible, and you're going to see that as I go through the series. God says it. Notice what it is. Advancing. Going forward spiritually means we will become more and more like Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? I don't go anywhere by myself. I go following Jesus. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. This enabled Jesus and us to stay on mission, to seek and save the lost and expand the kingdom of God. Our world needs help. So during this difficult time, we're going to be light and salt, and we're going to continue to go forward. Remember, the whole thing from discipleship, a command from God, and Matthew says it like this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's not just for pastors. That's for every single Christian on this planet. Now, the opposite of forward, now think about this, is going nowhere. I'll say some words, and you might be there. It means doing nothing. It means status quo. It means stagnant. It means, Pastor Mark, I'm comfortable where I am spiritually. Really? Then you need to confess, because the Bible never tells us to be comfortable. We are supposed to be growing more like Jesus. And if you don't grow, there's no fruit. And Jesus said, I want fruit, more fruit, much fruit from your life. And you'll have no impact. So think of this. As we go forward, we have to become more like Jesus. A lot of people say, well, Pastor Mark, realistically, I got my fire insurance from God when I got saved. I don't need to do anything more. You're wrong. We're commanded to be like Jesus. Get out of that stagnant place and let's go forward in 2021. Put God first, not you. I'm serious. Now, Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." See, every Christian, every Christ follower, God has plans for us. Not to be a pastor, not to be a missionary. Could be, of course. But it can be lots of other things. He has plans for us. And these plans, Jeremiah says, are good, not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. Now, where is the future? It's forward. It's forward. Now, say this with me. And I would encourage you to write this down this morning, or take a look at the notes online. You can do this. And write this little statement where you have your prayer in the morning. Most of us have a little place where we go do our devotion for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever. Just write this down. So this series will be in the book of Acts, but this series goes for the year. Unless God changes something, it goes for the year. So here's what I want everybody to say with me right now on the count of three. One, two, three. Forward focused in 2021. Come on again. Forward focused in 2021. 21. That's right. That's exact. Make that a focus in your head. I'm going forward. Well, I'm just kind of going to sit here. The old man, no, God told me I have to go forward. I have to go forward. Now, notice what you see there on the overhead with that. When I do that, God just says, I want you to follow me because I will focus on his will, not my will. If I focus on my will, I get off the path that I'm supposed to be doing. Yes, you can plan your way, but you have to ask God, is that right? Is that where you want me? Now, the sermon I first taught in the week of January, 1 year ago, first week here. Now, I never knew what was coming. You never knew what was coming. It was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. And I broke that down on that weekend. This is three commands and one promise from God. Take a look at what we learned way back then. Command number one, do trust in God, i.e., trust simply means transferring our dependence and confidence in God. God, I trust you. Just like I said a few moments ago, when we see all the things happening in the world, you say, well, God isn't even related to our world. Wrong. Trust God. He's always right. He's always right because he's all-knowing. Second, command number two, don't depend on your own understanding. Pastor Mark, I have an IQ of 250. Good for you. The only one that has a perfect understanding in wisdom is God. Do not trust on your own human wisdom. Command number three, do acknowledge God, which means to know God personally, to seek his will. Now, the way you get to know God is through prayer. Prayer is simply a two-way conversation. Many times we make it a one-way conversation. God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. He knows that. He knows what we need before we ask him. But you then have to listen. God will say, okay, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I will answer that prayer. That's why prayer culture is such a positive thing in our churches twice a year. Now, when you see that, when we obey these three commands, then God has a promise. Here's his promise. He will show us which path to take. Which path to take. Remember, God's will is always better than our will. Now, here's an interesting one. God says, let us go forward. Here's the key word. Together. Together. Together is a picture of unity. Oneness. When you get married, God puts two people together. They're one. Now, when you think of that, Satan knows this key. God loves to unite. Satan loves to divide. you realize how many marriages were destroyed in 2020? Who was behind that? God? No, Satan. Homes, divorces, separations, worse than probably any other year that we've seen. Why? Because Satan got in. And they argue about all kinds of things. They're not trusting God. You know, the Bible speaks about it so clearly. Look at Amos 3:3 from the Old Testament. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? That's why we follow God. He has the direction. Now, stop and reflect on 2020. We live in a world that's totally divided, not just in the United States. Think about the riots and the damage, the fires, the destroying of property, the anger, the bitterness, the cheating, the dishonesty, not just in the United States, all over the world. You saw it in Russia. You saw it in South America. You saw it in different parts of Europe all the time. We see it in the United States. We saw it this weekend. It's everywhere. Now, why is that? Because Satan knows that he can, with his power, deceive people into dividing their homes and the churches and a country. A country that's divided will not stand. Same for a marriage. But God loves to unite. Now, we are told right here, God tells us that we are to go forward together in unity. Listen to Romans 5:15-5. May the God who gives you endurance, you guys and Sebastian and Vieira, may the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Now, unity comes from sameness of purpose. I won't ask this for you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. I've been in church all my life. My dad was a pastor for more than 50 years. I never thought I'd ever be a pastor. And I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I guarantee you, quite a few of you that have been in churches for a long time, you've seen a divided church. You see people leave. There's anger. There's bitterness. Who got in? Satan. Because he likes to divide church. I want to say thank you to all of our campuses, to all of you. You guys are amazing to me. We're together. We're under one God. We operate in response to him. Thank you. We are not a divided congregation. We're unified. Now you think what happened. Can you imagine coming in and saying, oh, don't sit me in that row over there. I ain't sitting in that row. I hate that guy over there. We don't have that. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, when a new person walks into a church and there's division, you know what they know? Something's wrong here. If you're a Christian, you really sense it the moment you walk in. But God has protected us. Thank you. Thank you. We're on the same purpose. We're going forward in 2021 following God. That is going to keep us unified. Now, think about this. We read the same Bible. We ask the same God to forgive us of our sins. Everything we do is the same. We're going to go to heaven together. We're going to meet our loved ones who've gone. It's the same heaven. That's why we're in unity. We're flowing together. Remember the early church in the book of Acts? They had 12 disciples, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And that early church, it says in the early church, they were in one accord. Let me change it and update it. They were in one Toyota. A RAV Toyota. Now, the reason I said that, because that's the car I have. Last night, it took them an hour to figure out, one accord, what are you talking about? It means in what? Unity. And when that group of people, about 30 years later, They turned that part of Israel they were in upside down for Jesus Christ. Why? They were following God in unity. Don't ever let the enemy try to divide your home or your business or your marriage. Let's keep the church flowing together. Amen. Thank you so much. Now, remember I told you that Jesus is our role model. One day, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for you and me. I'm going to read it to you. And it's in John 17, while he was still here. I am praying not for just these disciples, his church, there, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Jesus was praying for you and me 2,000 years ago. I pray that they will all be one. Just God as you and I are one. See, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're one. They don't argue. They're one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, that the world will believe you sent me. You see, if we're divided and angry and bitter and burning buildings down and all and say, oh, I'm a Christian, we've just destroyed our evangelistic sharing with people. I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of it. Here's how Jesus ends it. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them, Father, as much as you love me. In this series, I'll be using a number of illustrations. I'm going to go through them very quickly. This one today. Every week, we'll have other illustrations of this principle. One day, Jesus was in Capernaum, and he was in the synagogue, and he preached in the synagogue. Then he came right out and walked over to Peter's mother-in-law's house, which was right next to the synagogue. If you ever go to Israel with us, you'll see it's right next door. And as he went in, Peter's mother-in-law was sick. So Jesus stopped, prayed for her. She got well. And then that evening, people in the town found out that Jesus was there. So they came just piling the door up on the front of that home, waiting to be healed by Jesus. So he went out, he prayed for him, he healed him, he cast out demons, he did all of those things. And then it was a pretty tireful day. It was great. Then what happened is the next morning, Jesus, he was staying there with Peter and mother-in-law and some of the disciples. He got up very early and he went off, we don't know exactly where, to be by himself. And he prayed to the Father. And he was praying to the Father. And basically what he was saying was, God, what do you want me to do next? But he didn't know that Peter was coming with some of the disciples, and they found where he was praying. And Peter came to Jesus, and he says, what are you doing here? We got all these people back at the house, and they're knocking. Where's Jesus? Come on, get back here. We heard he healed lots of people. These people want to be healed too. And Peter says, come on, get back to the house. What are you doing? Well, Peter's plan was good. It was very good. But it wasn't God's plan. You remember what I said? I only do what the Father tells me to do. Now, Peter learned from this. Let me read you specifically what Jesus said. Think about this. You see it. And Jesus replied to Peter, we must go on to other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues, different towns, and casting out demons. What did God say for Jesus to do? Here's what he told him. God told Jesus to go forward to other towns to share the gospel. And he obeyed it. And the disciples would learn, my good idea isn't what God wanted. So we're going to listen to God. That's what we have to learn, guys, in our prayer, praying and listening. So, Pastor Mike, how are we going to learn to go forward? Well, you're going to see the Apostle Paul next week. I have great illustrations for you. Don't miss it, because he's going to show us Paul understood many years of how to go forward with God. Tremendous illustrations. And I'll give them to you, and then go some to the Old Testament to do the same thing. But I want you to just look at this. Christ followers, be encouraged this morning, because going forward with God is the best lifestyle you will ever find. We have to follow God. It's the best. It is absolutely the best. It's personal. Now, I want you to do one thing for me. I'm going to change the title, and I'm going to make it personal for you. Take a look on the overhead. God says, let's go forward together. But I want you to interject your name. I want you to say it like this with your own name. God says, Mark, let's go forward together. So put your name there and make it personal. You can even do that at home. We're going to focus on going forward. Put your name there. So on the count of three, how many can remember your name? Okay. On the count of three, I want you to put your name in there. Say it nice and loud. And you're saying it to God, that I can go with God. See, Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with God. So we're going to say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. God says, Mark, let's go forward together. That means God's for you. He's not against you. He wants to go with you and do life together. That is the greatest lifestyle in all the world. Remember it. Understand that. Be encouraged. Now, I want you to just listen to me for a moment. I'm speaking to people who are, you couldn't put your name there because you don't have a relationship with God. You might know God, about him, but you've never had a personal relationship with God. So if you don't have a relationship with God, here's what you're doing. You're directing your own life. Doesn't work. Never will work. You already know it. You're searching for something, and you're trying to do good, but it doesn't work because you were not designed to do life by yourself. We're only designed to follow God. Now, when you see that, how can you change your life? It's very simple. Let me show you a picture how you do it right here. That's a picture of following Jesus. That's what the disciples did. Let me ask you a question. Are you in the picture? If you're not, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes to the Father, to heaven, except through him. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. So if you're not following Jesus, I know you want to. Some of you used to follow Jesus, but you got off the road. And you decided to direct your own life, and it's miserable. Come on home. You need to make a recommitment. So let's bow our heads, everybody, right now. Father, I pray for those who are watching online, listening here in our campuses, all over. Lord, there's one thing that we want you to do. I want you to speak to them. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you want to have your life changed, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to come back and make a recommitment to Jesus, just pray this prayer with me directly to God. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need your forgiveness. I do believe you died on the cross for my sins. And right now I turn from my sins and I choose to follow you as my Savior and Lord. Today, I put my faith and trust in you. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me that gift of salvation. And I look forward in 2021 to a very different world in my life. I am making a commitment to follow you. Thank you for saving me. Amen.